Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, football is back. It's on the horizon, week number zero, but we have a dynamic week one slate in the SEC. And when you look at the conference as a whole, they haven't won a national championship in two straight years. Is the SEC still the conference to beat in 2025?
Well, you know, I guess there are different ways of looking at it. If you want to say, well, who's won the championship the last couple of years? Well, the Big Ten's won. They've got a couple of pretty nice teams in that conference. But if you look at the top 25, SEC 10 teams as opposed to the Big Ten with six. If you look at the NFL draft every year for the last 5 years, the SEC puts more people in the NFL. If you look at the quality and strength of the conference from the top team to the bottom team, few people would agree that any league is tougher than the SEC. Yes, the Big Ten has done their part. And I'll say this, to me, it's always been 1A and 1B. I don't know which one is much better, but if one's better, it's not much. So yes, the SEC to me in most ways is still the most dominant conference, but it isn't far from Big Ten football, at least the top two or three teams.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And when you look at Texas as a whole, they're the number one team in the country. They square off week one in the horseshoe against the Ohio State Buckeyes, a team that they lost in the college football semifinal 28-14. We'll dive into that game as next week progresses. But you're talking about Arch Manning. We're talking about the hype. We're talking about Steve Sarkisian. Is Texas back? We'll see if they could do it, but there's a lot of pressure on the Longhorns entering this coming season.
Back to, I mean, everything they do, I mean, they're underdogs 2.5 points against Ohio State, except they're still picked to win the national championship. Arch Manning is the top guy for the Heisman. I think there's that Arch Manning effect. Everybody gets excited about Arch Manning. His family name's incredible. Grandfather, two uncles, the amount of great football players. They assume he's going to be that player, but he is an outstanding football player, and they have talent. And when you put great talent with a quarterback that's as good as he is, that's the formula for a championship team. We'll find out against Ohio State because I think they're not favored against Ohio State. They may not be favored against Georgia, but they are favored to win the championship. I think that's because of Arch. I'm not sure. I think they do deserve to be number one because I think everybody's got them primed with the talent level they've acquired there at Texas.
Not just offensively, Coach, but defensively. They had one of the best secondaries in all of college football. They held opposing quarterbacks to 59% completion percentage as a unit. They only allowed 9 passing touchdowns all season long and forced 22 interceptions. You get that type of effort week number one against Ohio State, and more importantly, throughout the SEC, the Longhorns will be fighting at least for an SEC championship the way they did last year against the Georgia Bulldogs. We talked about Texas. I think there's three head coaches that have their backs on the wall, against the wall, and are on the hot seat. Want to get your take. The first one is Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. Great first season at 9-3, but they missed out on the college football playoffs. Hugh Freeze in Auburn and Brian Kelly in LSU. I think all three of those seats are hot, Coach. What are your thoughts about all three head coaches?
Yeah, those are the three big marquee names. There's a couple of other coaches in the conference that are definitely in the hot seat, but those are the biggest ones. And let me say this about Kalen DeBoer. You're always on the hot seat at Alabama, always. You're compared to Bear Bryant and you're compared to Nick Saban. Both guys won six national championships at Alabama, over 80% of their football games, and you're compared every year. So can Kalen DeBoer win 8 or 9 or 10 games and keep himself there? If you don't play for a championship and win championships, eventually it's going to happen. And remember, the hot seat at Alabama is different. There were seven coaches between Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. All of them left. Four of them left on their own with winning seasons after 2 to 4 years because the pressure was so much. They could never make people happy. The other three got fired, four left on their own, and they finally got to Nick Saban. That's where Kalen DeBoer is. So you don't have to get it all this year, but if you don't, it's just going to make it tougher on you because eventually you got to win it all at Alabama more than any other school in the country.
And it starts week one against the Florida State Seminoles. They're a 13.5-point favorite. We'll see how that game plays out. But a couple of, you know, factors in that game, Coach. Jam Miller, their starting running back, will be out with a broken collarbone. They don't have their starting running back to start against the Seminoles. So we'll see how that plays out. And I said this about Kalen DeBoer. 9-3 is a fantastic season anywhere but Alabama. When the expectation is to win a college football national championship and get to a college football playoff appearance, it's almost like coaching the New York Yankees. It's go big or go home, right? And the same thing, you know, in other schools as well. I will say this about Hugh Freeze, and I do want to get this take from the coaching perspective. Hugh Freeze made his mark back at Liberty with a mobile quarterback, Malik Willis, Caden Salter, and then we saw him take over again, Auburn. But he didn't have a mobile quarterback. He had Peyton Thorne transfer in from Michigan State, more of a pocket passer. Now he gets Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, mobile, but certainly not like Caden Salter or Malik Willis. Why is Hugh Freeze deviating from the offensive philosophy that he built with Liberty?
Well, I think he had to go out and get a name of a quarterback that was a great high school recruit. Everybody wanted him. And so there's a big upside to him. There are those that think offensive scheme is what hurt him, not his talent at Oklahoma. That is what yet to be seen. But I think Hugh clearly knows he had to make a good decision because the quarterback problem was terrible. Everything problem they had was around the quarterback situation there. So that one's got to work, and I don't know that it has. In fact, I saw this week where he came out and said, I might play three quarterbacks the first game. If you're playing three quarterbacks, then you haven't answered your questions yet, and that one scares you. But Jackson Arnold needs to be the guy. He needs to have a great year. Hugh Freeze has based his future on that, and he's got to hope he made that right decision.
You used to tell me if you're playing three quarterbacks, you don't have one. So that could be what plays out that week one matchup against Baylor, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting that it all depends on who your audience is. Was he trying to keep all three quarterbacks' attention on practicing hard and getting a chance? Was he trying to trick the Baylor, make them not sure who they're playing? Because if you're trying to build team confidence in the guy that you brought in to answer all your quarterback questions, you've just brought up some more questions. And so that's the only thing I would do. And then Baylor is a huge game, and we'll get to that next week, but they've got to win the Baylor game to hope they can have a good record before they get to Oklahoma and Texas A&M down the road. So the quarterback is a key. I think Hugh Freeze knows what he's doing. He's done a great job at Ole Miss, and I played against him when he was at Liberty. I knew him when he was the head coach at Lambeth, and again watched him what he did at Ole Miss. And it's not his first rodeo, and he knows the importance of that quarterback decision. Now we're going to see if it comes through.
You beat him, didn't you, at UL Monroe? You beat him with Malik Willis. I know you did. You were a 30-point dog in that game, and you knocked him off.
33-point underdogs, and again, that was one of those games that just was meant to be. We were 33-point underdogs to Liberty and won the game on a final field goal. But I don't have a whole lot of those, but I'm a big fan of Hugh Freeze, but he has got his back to the wall, two losing seasons, at Auburn, and you can't keep that job.
Yeah, we'll get into Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers when Coach and I return. We'll be breaking down the SEC odds. Can LSU make some noise against Clemson week number one? We'll find out. Brian Kelly's back is against the wall. We'll break down Garrett Nussmeier in that offense. Defense needs to step up as well. We'll also sprinkle in a little Lenora Sellers and South Carolina coming right back. Keep it where it is.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi, Coach Bowden breaking down the SEC odds. We left off talking about Texas and Arch Manning. We also sprinkled in a little Hugh Freeze and Auburn. I mentioned LSU and Brian Kelly being on the hot seat. Coach, Brian Kelly comes to Baton Rouge. He takes over the program for Ed Orgeron. He wins the SEC West in year number one, knocks off Nick Saban 32-31. Going for two in Death Valley, and then all of a sudden they go 9-3 and 8-4 respectively. He's lost three week one games in his tenure in Baton Rouge. It's go big or go. You have to win this year for LSU, and they need to make the college football playoff.
Yeah, and I don't know if they can win the first game, but they can still do it. Clemson's a 2.5-point favorite right now, but he needs to get off to a great start. This needs to be his year. They paid him a lot of money not to not go to the playoffs. They paid him money to go to the playoffs and win a championship. The last three coaches, Nick Saban, Ed Orgeron, Les Miles, they all won a national championship by their fourth year. This is Brian Kelly's fourth year, and they've got a very good football team. If they're probably in the top four in the SEC when it comes to who has a chance to win right after Georgia, Alabama, Texas. They're right there also in that group. So, again, outstanding football team. They answered a lot of questions, but they've got to have a lot of answers this year because I'm in Louisiana. That's where I live. These fans are ready for a big year.
Yeah, I'll just say this about that offense. They average 315 passing yards per game. You talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly with Garrett Nussmeier, 29 touchdowns. But there are times when he's pressured, he throws the ball into double and triple coverage, just the way Brett Favre used to do at Southern Mississippi, right? A riverboat gambler type. They need a better effort this year and more consistency. I will say that LSU has possibly the best wide receiver core, not just in the conference, but potentially in all of college football. Aaron Anderson returns. Nick Anderson, the transfer from Oklahoma, is scheduled to be a starter. Barry and Brown, the standout from Kentucky, transfers over as well, along with Braun, the tight end from Oklahoma. So they can throw the football to a multitude of wideouts and tight ends. The problem is, can the defense take the next step in Blake Baker's defensive scheme?
Well, that's the key, because last year they did not get what they needed to get out of the portal in the defensive front. The defense got a little better, but not good enough. And this is a year they did get good players. They were able to really stack their team, had a great ranking in the portal transfers. And that's where it is. This team's success this year is not about the quarterback and receivers. We know they're going to be good. Running back going to be good. Are they going to win the trenches? Because that's what they've got to do now to control football games. If they come in their opening game and it gets down to nip and tuck, can they get one or two more first downs to hold the clock and win the game? Can they score at the end when they know you're going to run? They have got to win in the trenches, both sides, if they're going to have the year that they need to have for Brian Kelly.
Yeah, and if they lose that week one game against Clemson, they're going to have to basically roll and win almost every game in the conference and win an SEC championship to at least get to potentially 10 or 11 wins. So we'll see how that plays out. Coach and I will be breaking down all the week one games as the week progresses as well. Another team that people and a lot of experts are high on, I'm not as high, are the Florida Gators. Now, DJ Lagway came on last year, led his team to a bowl victory. This is a team that potentially is looked at as a 9 or a 10 win football team. They were 8-5 last year and won 7 games by an average margin of victory of 17 points per game against FBS opponents, Coach. But you look at the road games at Miami, at LSU, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M. That is a gauntlet of a road schedule. Can Billy Napier and the Florida Gators get to 10 wins this season?
I don't know. I mean, first of all, Lagway had a great finish last year. I don't think his body of work is enough for us to put him in that higher echelon of the very top quarterbacks. Thank goodness he came in and saved the day for Billy Napier with the way their season ended. But their schedule, for some reason, they get the toughest schedule in a tough conference. They tend to get the toughest of all, and they've got a tough one this year. So I can't see 9 or 10. Now, I don't think Billy Napier is going to be gone. I think he can get to 7-5. And I'll say this about the SEC. There are a lot of power teams, top 25 caliber teams, that are projected to win 7 games in the SEC. I guess that's just how tough that conference is, because it's hard to find 8 or 9 wins with some of these schedules that teams like Florida have.
Yeah, absolutely. Another team that I actually am high on are their South Carolina Gamecocks and Lenora Sellers. You look at how they played, not just in the beginning part of the year, but towards the end of the regular season, they knocked off the Clemson Tigers, handed the Tigers only their 5th home loss since 2015. They won that matchup at the end of the regular season. They won 8 games against FBS opponents, Coach, by an average margin of victory of 18.7 points per game. But they just didn't do it with Lenora Sellers and the offense. They had the 12th ranked defense in terms of points allowed, rushing defense, and passing defense as well. They were in the top 50. This defense only allowed 316 total yards per game. They could be a dark horse at 50-1 to potentially win a national championship.
Yeah, you've got to look at them with a dark horse. Great rush in, great pressure they can put on a quarterback, and a quarterback that is as pretty. He is probably as gifted a quarterback, can make big plays, can take a game over, can run well, very physical, very big, strong arm, and he's one everybody's going to be watching. So South Carolina had a big win last year over Clemson, and again, South Carolina to me is probably that dark horse candidate in the conference that could surprise some people and come out there, get towards the end of the season and have a chance to play for that conference championship.
We'll also talk about John Mateer, potentially Heisman front-runner. We'll see. Oklahoma and Brett Venables have their backs against the wall. We'll see if they could step up this coming season. John Mateer does transfer in from Washington State. That defense was a top 30 unit throughout the regular season. Can John Mateer make a difference in Norman this coming season, Coach?
With him, and that gives them a chance to blend together and not have to start from scratch. But he's got to let that offense change. They did not have a great scheme. There's a lot of argument out there that Brent Venables, a great defensive coordinator, Brent Venables, not sure the head coach.
We'll come back with Heisman odds in the conference. Keep it where it is. Heisman Trophy odds, baby. We're talking Arch Manning leading the crew. What a 6-1 number entering week number one against the Ohio State Buckeyes. But, Coach, we talk about Garrett Nussmeier and Cade Klubnik in that battle in Death Valley, both 9-1 shots to potentially steal the hardware away from Arch Manning. Garrett Nussmeier has the opportunity to potentially be the front runner if they dominate the Clemson Tigers week number one.
Well, it's all about what kind of games you have. Big games, how you perform those big games. Do you still have your team in the hunt when it comes time to win the conference and play down through the conference champion of the playoffs? And again, because when it comes to the Heisman, it's all about how far you can take your team, what kind of stats that you've got, and how good your team is. Because again, people look at the quarterback, they look at the record of the team. So all these quarterbacks, their Heisman hopes, a lot of it's based on how they can take their team where they are, unless you have an incredible stat year where you just blow it out the record books and it overrides everything else. But each of these quarterbacks that we've talked about, their success in the Heisman, other Arch Manning kind of carries his name with him and carries Texas. These other quarterbacks, I think they've got to ride the success of their football team as well.
Well, when we talk about the Georgia Bulldogs in recent years, we talk about one of the most consistent, dominant programs led by Kirby Smart that won two back-to-back national championships in Athens. But Gunnar Stockton takes over for Carson Beck. Can Gunnar Stockton make a difference and potentially a Heisman Trophy run this season?
The way Georgia plays, you got to understand, I mean, Kirby Smart, and I remember he was a defensive back at Georgia when I coached against them when I was at Auburn. Kirby Smart's going to win with defense, going to win running the football, and a great manager at quarterback. They won two championships with Stetson Bennett at quarterback, a guy that was like a fourth-round draft pick and probably didn't pan out in the NFL, but a good manager of the football team. A guy that knows how to run the offense, how to put the ball in the right hands and make good decisions out there. Because, again, a great quarterback is not necessarily the fastest or the strongest arm, but it's a decision maker that has accuracy. And, again, that's what makes the Gunner. I think Gunnar Stockton has a chance to fit right in to what Kirby Smart uses when he wants to be successful. He needs a manager, a great leader as a quarterback. Then he's got to run that football, have a tight end that's involved, and play great defense.
I agree, and they need a better rushing attack. Only average 124 yards per game on the ground. We talk about the statistics about how dominant Georgia is dating back to 2016. Every time the Bulldogs rush for over 200 yards, they are undefeated over the past nine seasons. So we'll see how that plays out in 2025. I mentioned Alabama at the start of the show, Coach. Ty Simpson does get the nod over Jalen Milroe. It's not whether Ty Simpson could potentially lead Alabama to wins. Can he duplicate the type of rushing productivity that we saw out of Jalen Milroe last year that had 20 rushing touchdowns on the ground?
I don't think he's the same quarterback. I think he's not a running quarterback that can throw. He's a throwing quarterback that runs adequately. I think he does fit Kalen DeBoer's offensive philosophy and offensive style. I think he'll fit better with what they want to do offensively, but he's not going to run the football. I think Milroe last year, he had to run a lot. I don't think his throwing at all the time was accurate enough to depend on just on running. So it's a different quarterback. What I really like about him, he didn't jump in the portal. He has sat and waited his turn. He's done it the old-fashioned way. He's learned. He's waited his time. He came to Alabama. He sat there and waited. And now it's his time. I think that carries a lot of weight when the team gets behind you and the team pulls for you. I think they sense here's a guy that loved being at Alabama, wanted to keep his place at Alabama, and he's ready to have an outstanding year at Alabama.
Yeah, we'll see exactly how Alabama plays week number one against the Florida State Seminoles. Some other quarterbacks of note, Joey Aguilar from Tennessee that transfers in from Appalachian State. Can he make a difference taking over for Nico in Knoxville? Last year, Tennessee had a 10-win season but lost to Ohio State in the college football playoff opening round. Can Tennessee bounce back with another double-digit season win? We'll see in 2025. The other team I think that we keep an eye out on is Ole Miss and Austin Simmons. Austin Simmons expected to be the guy taking over for Jackson Dart 8.5 win total. That's a huge number considering the pressure on Lane Kiffin and the Rebels this coming season. Coach and I will be back later in the week breaking down week 0 and week 1 in the SEC. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you later in the week.